All right, I have not spoken to Bruce about his subject this morning, but I know it's going to be good. And so let's welcome Bruce Woodard. Yes.
Can you hear me?
My own?
Oh, yeah, I'm on. Good. Thank you. All right. You know, my first name is actually William, so I'm another Bill. Yeah. All right. I am excited to be here today because the Holy Spirit's going to speak, not me. So, and this message was born out of the last men's breakfast. And something the Holy Spirit, boy, I feel like I'm in the Inquisition up here. Like, I can't see you guys because of the lights. Something that the Holy Spirit's really been working on me over the last year or so is the concept of the kingdom of God. Okay? Well, and we hear that a lot. Okay? But I've got to tell you that since last week until today, you know, I'm different. Yeah, actually, I was walking through the neighborhood this morning with the Holy Spirit, and I was even different after that, and I'm even different right now, because Jesus is a change maker. Okay. Our God is the same today as He was yesterday, and He will be tomorrow. We're the ones that Jesus came to change. Okay. So I'm going to ask you a series of questions. We're going to have fun today. These are rhetorical questions, so don't be giving me answers, okay? we're going to have fun today, all right? And these rhetorical questions, I want you to think about them as you go about your day, all right? Because Christ wants to make a change in us, okay? The kingdom of God. This is the first question, okay? Do you wake up every morning with a sense of adventure, a sense of excitement, and a passion for what the day holds? You know, think about that. What's the first thing you think of when you wake up? Yeah, I don't know about you guys, but I do wake up every morning with a sense of adventure, excitement, and a passion for what the Holy Spirit's going to do in my life. And what, you know, the kingdom of God that's going to be shown through my life. Not by me, but by Him in me. Okay? Does that mean every morning I just bounce out of bed with a big smile on my face? No. No. It takes work, okay? This is not easy. Salvation was easy. I received Christ by faith, and my spirit was made perfect in Jesus Christ. That was easy. Right? But there's another part to it that we don't talk about a lot. Our responsibility as kings and queens in the kingdom of God. You know what I'm looking at? I'm looking at royalty here. I'm looking at, you know, the elect, the chosen. I'm looking at a group of saints. Do you all realize you're saints? Okay? You are not sinners saved by grace. All right? When you accepted Christ, you became a saint saved by grace. Okay? We have to start walking around believing that we are royalty in the kingdom of God. So that's a good question. And if you're not waking up that way, why not? You have everything you need to be a kingdom person. But we have to go back to the beginning, and I'm going to kind of go through this quickly. I'm going to give you three quick questions. What was our Father's purpose for creating us? You know, did He need somebody to irritate Him? All right. You know, did He need somebody to chastise? Yeah. Did He need somebody to disappoint Him? No. He created us to be in dominion. Genesis 1:28. I've given you dominion over the earth and everything in it. What was His first command? Well, what was God's first command? Have dominion over the earth. We were created for dominion, to have dominion. We were created by agape love, for agape love, to be agape love. Right? Genesis 1:28, that's the first command. Have dominion. Well, what happened? Yeah, what happened to that dominion? See, at the fall, Adam declared his independence from Abba Father. That's what he did at the fall. He declared his independence. And every one of us is born into that. You know, what's the first word the child learns after no? You know, is mine. Everything's mine, okay? We are born into a state of independence. But in the kingdom of God, there is nothing but dependence. Okay? In the kingdom of God, there's nothing but dependence. We're dependent on Jesus Christ. We're dependent on Abba Father. And most importantly, we're dependent on the Holy Spirit. And we're going to get into him in depth here pretty soon. So, I don't know about you guys, but I can look back on my life and I can see me walking in my independence. And I can see where it got me. All right? Got me in my desert experience, and I don't ever want to do that again. I don't ever want to forget it, but I don't ever want to repeat it. All right? Because God delivered me in my sinful state and made me his child, his dearly loved child. And as his child, I'm an heir in the kingdom of God, and I'm a co-heir with Jesus Christ, my brother. Jesus Christ is my brother. He's your brother, all right? But he's the king. But we are royalty. We are each the kingdom of God. And I'm going to explain that a little bit more here, okay? So what was the main purpose for Jesus coming back to earth? See, we've been told the main purpose is, you know, so we could get our sins forgiven and sometime in the sweet by and by we can go to heaven. But that's not why he came. That's part of it, okay? And it's a big part of it, and I thank God that my sins are forgiven. But he didn't forgive me my sins so I can sit around at the bus stop waiting for the bus to heaven to come with my ticket, all right? Jesus came to restore us. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a restoration gospel. All right? It's a powerful restoration gospel where he came and he talked about the kingdom of God is here and it's not leaving. Okay? He came to restore us back into our position as dearly loved children in the kingdom. We've been adopted and we're eagerly waiting for the resurrection of our bodies. Here's a good question. Where is our ultimate destiny? Where are we going? Yeah. And I know what most of you are thinking. Heaven. Oh, here I come. I'm going to heaven. No, ultimately, we're coming right back here. All right? The kingdom of God right now is spiritually. It's a spiritual kingdom in each one of us. But the kingdom of God in its physical part is coming again. When Christ comes and establishes his kingdom, we're going to get our resurrected bodies. And you think it's beautiful around here now? Wait till you see that. Okay, that's our ultimate destination, is right back here to earth. In the meantime, we're supposed to be kings and queens in our own kingdoms. We have dominion over our kingdom. Gene has a kingdom. Bob has a kingdom. Steve has a kingdom. We all have a kingdom. And Jesus said, I want you to establish that kingdom until I come back. We did the bride thing, right? Still got yours? We did the bride thing. You know, we are the bride of Christ. We're supposed to be preparing for the groom's return, preparing the kingdom of God in our own domain. I don't have dominion over any person, but I tell you what, wherever Gene and I go, the kingdom of God goes. And when I walk into a place that's full of demons, guess what they do? They flee because the light comes in. Not because Jean's so beautiful, she is, but not because she's so beautiful or because I'm so handsome. It's because the presence of the Holy Spirit drives out darkness. And we're supposed to walk around with our chest stuck out going, I'm the light of the world. And you don't hide that. We've been hiding our lights under a bucket. You know, it's time for us to stand up and be who Christ called us to be, the kingdom of God. All right. Redemption, salvation. Yeah. Yes, our sins are forgiven, and I thank God for that every day. Because I am a sinful person, you know, but I strive not to be. Because we're called, in Matthew 5:48, Jesus says, be perfect as your Father in heaven's perfect. And we try to water that down by saying, well, it really means mature. It means perfect as your Father in heaven's perfect. But you got to look up the definition of perfect. The first definition is without flaw. That's our Father. He's without flaw. He's perfect. The second part of that definition means to be faithfully reproducing the original. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be trying to faithfully reproduce the original, which is Jesus Christ, and what he gave us as a standard. We got to rise up to his standard, not try to bring his standard down to what we think we can be comfortable with. I'm tired of being comfortable. Yeah? I'm tired of being comfortable when it comes to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But I got news for you. Jesus himself is seated in the highest heavens at the right hand of Abba, Father, in all power and glory. Does everybody agree with that? Okay. Okay, he's there. But it also says in Ephesians 2:6 that we have been made to be seated with him. Okay? It's not a request. All right, would you come be seated with me? You know, maybe you can sit with... No, we have been made to be seated with him in all power and authority, and he has given us that authority, and he has given us that power. Okay, so, another question. I love this question. You know, I'm gonna let it sink in for a few seconds. Okay, who is the most powerful and important person on the earth today? Okay, who is the most powerful and important person on the earth today? Okay, that's long enough. I'm sure you guys thought of some really good snappy answers. Yeah, but you know who it is? It's Bob Hazen. No, yeah, and it's Jenny Hazen, and it's Steve Greer, yeah, it's Marcia, yeah, it's Peter back there, yeah, it's me, it's Gene, it's all of us. You know why? Because of 1 John 4:4, anybody know what that says? Greater is he that's in me than anything in this world. The Holy Spirit is the most important person in the earth today. And where does he dwell? Yeah. 1 Corinthians 6:19. For your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit whom I've given you. All right? The Holy Spirit of the living God dwells in each and every one of us and is just chomping at the bit to have a relationship with us. And I'm getting to mentor a young man who's like 26. And I said, I am so excited because I'm saving you 40 years of misery. And he looked at me and goes, what? What do you mean? I said, I didn't get this until I was 66. I want you to get it now so you have all this power that you can walk in. If the most powerful and important person on the earth today is the Holy Spirit and he dwells in us, what does that make us? But we got to strive to understand him. Remember, salvation was easy. I received Christ by faith, right? My faith is the substance of my hope in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wow, that's cool. How do we receive the Holy Spirit? I was at the Walgreens checking out, and I was wearing this shirt. Yeah, I like to be a signpost for God, just like my brother back there. And as I was checking out, the little girl goes, how do you get them to come? Yeah. And I said, you ask for them. You ask, you seek, you knock. Yeah. And she goes, I have. And I said, you ask and you seek and you knock and you receive him by faith the same way you receive Jesus Christ. It's by faith. I think it's Galatians 3:14. Where Jesus has become a curse for us, right? So we get all the blessings of Abraham, right? I don't know about you guys, but that excites me. I don't get any of the curses. I get all the blessings. I've lived through some of them curses. I don't want them. But I want the blessings. And then right after that it says, and we receive the Holy Spirit by faith. We receive him the same way we received Jesus. He's a gift from Abba Father. He's a gift from Jesus Christ. Let's see what Jesus has to say about this Holy Spirit, okay, that we don't give much credit to. You know, I go to a lot of churches, and he gets lip service. We talk about Abba Father, you know, we talk about Jesus Christ, and every once in a while we hear something about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is here now. The Holy Spirit is the power now. Jesus said, I'm going to rustle some pages. I read the other day that somebody said when you're actually using the Bible and you hear the rustling of the pages, it's Jesus' footsteps. I like that. I like that. Yeah. I like the rustling of the pages. So let's see what we have here. Okay, here we go. How about John 16:7? And this is Jesus speaking, and he's talking to his guys, yeah, and gals. I'm sure there were gals there too. Yeah. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, because Jesus doesn't lie. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I depart, I love the buts in the Bible. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Now, if Jesus told his guys that he loved, that I've got to go so this guy can come, you cannot fail your purpose. You cannot be in Christ without the Holy Spirit. You cannot be the kingdom of God that we're called to be without the Holy Spirit. Because according to Romans 14:17, you know, I'll read that too. Okay, wait a minute. Let me rustle some more pages here. All right. 21, there it is. Romans 14:17. Here it is. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. You know, I've read that for years. And I was reading it one time and the Holy Spirit said, stop. He goes, you've missed it. And I said, what? He goes, it says, for the kingdom of God is the Holy Spirit. You can cut out all that other stuff. When you truncate a sentence like that, for the kingdom of God is the Holy Spirit. And I went, wow, you're the kingdom of God. Yes, I'm the kingdom of God. And he goes, and I dwell in you. So if I dwell in you, then the kingdom of God resides in you, because that's what Jesus told us back in Luke 17:21. He's talking with the Pharisees. Yeah, I'm sure he always enjoyed talking with those guys. And the Pharisees goes, hey, when is the kingdom of God going to come? Mr. Know-it-all? And Jesus says, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. I'm sure they were like, uh-oh, he's getting deep again. It doesn't come with observation. For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. Right? The kingdom of God is within me. He's within you. And that makes you the kingdom of God. Remember when Jesus taught his disciples how to pray? Oh, Father, you're holy. We love you. Yeah. Let your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, if it's going to be done on earth, who's going to do it? You know, we want to stand around and say, oh, Jesus, come and do it. Oh, God, help me. All right? And God and Jesus are up there saying, I've already given you a helper. Work with him. Get to know him. Devour Romans 8:1 all the way through 39. It tells you, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And I go, ooh, that's important. But you know what's really important? The smallest word in there is the most powerful. In. Okay? Because it means to be in a state of being like. So what it says is there's no condemnation if you're being like Christ. There's no condemnation if you're being like Christ. Well, how do I do that? And it goes right on to say, not walking in the flesh, but walking with the Spirit. So if we're joined in life union with Jesus Christ by walking daily, 24/7, with the Holy Spirit, there's no condemnation. The great loser's lost again. Because he's the only one that tries to condemn us. I don't know about you guys, but I want to learn how to walk with this Holy Spirit. I want to learn how to live with this Holy Spirit. What does that mean? You know, how do we do that? Romans 8 lays it all out for you. I mean, I'll come back and teach on that. I can teach on that all day, Romans 8. But you got to start in Romans 7. You know, you have to back up a couple of verses and start like 7:24 and move forward to really get the gist of it. Because Romans 8 starts out with therefore, right? And whenever you see a therefore, you got to figure out what it's there for. You know, who starts a sentence? Hey, Steve, therefore, if you come over to my, you know. Nobody starts a sentence with therefore. It's a continuous thought. See, we have to remember that the epistles are just that. They are letters. They weren't, you know, Paul didn't break them down in the scripture and verse, okay? We did that so we make it easy for us to memorize it. So let's see what else Jesus says about this Holy Spirit, okay? I'm going to rustle some more pages here. The book of John. You know, when somebody asked me, and I give them a Bible, and they go, where do I start? I say, the book of John. I say, you start reading the book of John, and then start reading the New Testament, and I go, and get with the Holy Spirit, and the next thing you know, you'll be reading the whole Bible. Because the whole Bible is important. Yeah, we learn from the Old Testament. We live by the New Testament because we're under the New Covenant. But we learn. We learn from the Old Testament. Yeah, I don't know about you, but a lot of times I was going, look at those silly Jews. They're doing it again. You know, don't they learn? And the Holy Spirit goes, go look in the mirror. You look like a Jew to me. Okay, so let's see what he says here. He says in John 14:15-17, I love these verses. I just love them. It says, if, and there's another word I love, if. See, if connotates that there's something I have to do, okay? You ever heard that verse that it says, and then you'll know the Spirit, and the Spirit will set you free? People like to preach on that, but they don't tell you what it says right before that. That if my word abides in you, and you abide in my word, you're my disciple, and then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You got to do something to get there. You got to know the truth. You got to be obedient. You know, remember that old song, Trust and Obey? See, I changed that. You know, well, I didn't change. The Holy Spirit did. I was singing it this morning while I was walking around the neighborhood, and it was like love and obey. Because that's what it says here. If you love me and keep my commandments. Look, that's a charge, isn't it? We can't skip over that and just go to the rest of it. If you love me, that's agape love, and you keep my commandments, then I will pray to the Father. I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, and he will be with you forever. Wow. He'll be with you forever. And then he's called the Spirit of Truth. So when you look at what Jesus is saying about knowing the truth and the truth will set you free, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. You can't be in Christ. You can't be the kingdom of God. You can't do anything without this Holy Spirit because he's the power of God in you. And if you don't call him God the Holy Spirit, yeah, you're disrespecting him. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They're all God. Yeah, he was there hovering over the earth before God spoke. God speaks, the Spirit, you know, does. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. The world can't receive. To the world is foolishness. You start talking about the Holy Spirit to the world, yeah, and they think you're nuts. Yeah, but they can't, because they can't see him, yeah, and they don't know him. But Jesus goes on to say, but, there's another one of those buts. I love the buts in the Bible. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. He dwells with you is the indwelling at salvation, and will be with you is the infilling by Christ when we ask, seek, and knock. I love the Amplified in Luke, because it says, Jesus says, continually ask, continually seek, continually knock. And how much more will your Father in heaven not give you the Holy Spirit if you would ask, and ask with the right heart? Your Father wants you to have this Holy Spirit. He sent him here for that, for your purpose, for you to be the kingdom of God, walking in the kingdom and God environment. 2 years ago, I went to the Jesus Festival, and all they talked about was, what environment are you creating in your life? What environment are you creating in your life? An environment of the world or an environment of the kingdom of God? We're called to be kingdom people. Kingdom of God people. I get excited about that. I don't know about you guys. You know, the Holy Spirit is the kingdom of God. You know, Isaiah 11:2 tells us who the Spirit is. He's the Spirit of wisdom. He's the Spirit of understanding. He's the Spirit of knowledge. He's the Spirit of strength. He's the Spirit of counsel. He's our everything. Jesus says, without me, you can't do anything. Apart, you know, he's divine, right? And we're the branch. Well, guess who the sap is? The sap is the Holy Spirit, you know, and he's the one that flows from the vine into our branch. But if you break that branch off, just like the word says, it's going to wither and die, and you might as well throw it in the fire, right? That's dying spiritually, and the word talks about that. You know, walking in the flesh is death, says so right in Romans 8, okay? Walking in the Spirit is death. That's like the same death that our Father told Adam and Eve, if you eat that apple, you're going to die, right? Now, when Eve was deceived and Adam sinned, did they both fall over dead? No. They died spiritually. That's worse. I would rather die in the flesh with the Spirit than live forever in the flesh without him. Okay? That's a powerful statement. Yeah, Father, if I'm gonna backslide, take me home now. I don't want to. I don't want to backslide. But Smith Wigglesworth says, if you're not moving forward, you're backsliding. You never reach a plateau. You never arrive. We don't arrive until we stand face to face with Jesus Christ. And I'm hoping to hear those words. Yeah, not get out of here. You're in the wrong place. I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. And that takes being uncomfortable. This is not a comfortable relationship. That's a comfortable relationship. My relationship with Gene is comfortable. I love it. You know, my relationship with my Lord and Savior, I have to do things that I don't want to do. And he tells me to do them. I walk and talk with the Holy Spirit. I talk to the Holy Spirit just like I'm talking to you. All right? He is a person. He's my best friend. He's my counselor. You know, he's the one who helps me to be who Christ wants me to be. Oh, and we got to hear some other things too, all right? There's some more good word around here. Let's go to 26. 16:7. Oh, yeah, that's where he tells us the truth. Oh, here it is. 15:26. John 15:26. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father and I, he will bear witness about me. He will also tell us all the things he hears in heaven. And he'll remind us of everything that Jesus told us. When I'm walking with the Spirit and my humanity rises up, because it does, all right, so does yours, all right, when my humanity rises up and I'm not in Christ, all right, if I'm not in Christ, he's not in me, you know, and my humanity rises up, and you know, the Holy Spirit nudges me and says, you're better than that. Yeah, you're better than that, Bruce. You're a child of the King. Yeah, and I love his chastisement because I need it. You know, one of my stories is, you know, we have a niece and a nephew who are, you know, we're on the verge of being homeless, but somebody graciously allowed them to stay in a camper. And this camper, when they moved into it, it didn't have any electricity, it didn't have any water, it didn't have a bathroom, but they had shelter. Okay. And so, you know, the day they got in there, Gene was texting with our niece. And after work, after a day of work, I was getting ready to, to be spiritual and watch Jeopardy. Yeah, and then the Wheel of Fortune. Those are my two things to calm down with, because I don't know any of the answers to any of those things. It really humbles me. And, so I was getting ready to just relax. And Gene and I have these recliners. Now, when we get back in our recliners, I can't see her face. I can just see her feet. Yeah, which that's pretty to look at, too. So I'm laying back there just getting ready to relax. And Gene goes, "Oh, no." Now, "Oh, no," that statement is not conducive to relaxing. It's just not, okay? And so my first thought was just ignore her. Yeah. If it's something really bad, she'll expand on it. Yeah. But no, being the husband I am, I said, "What?" And I said it just like that, lovingly. "What? What is it?" Yeah. And she said, "They don't have any food or water." Yeah. "And it's 7 o'clock at night. I'm in my pajamas." I go, "What am I supposed to do? I can't take care of everybody. I can't do..." Who was that all about? Me. All right? So, and Jean, I'm married to an angel. She makes me better. Her faith makes me better. And it helps build my faith, and that's what I want. But, she's so gracious, and she doesn't say... She just goes into prayer. So now I got her and the Holy Spirit after me, okay? And the Holy Spirit starts working on me, and she goes, and she doesn't have any way to get to work, and it's like 5 miles away from her where she, and I'm like, "I'm not buying a car." Okay, come on, food and water maybe, but a car, I'm not doing that. So the next morning we get up, and Gene's like, looking at me, and I said, "Okay, call them and tell them we're going to bring some supplies out there, all right?" And so I get in the car, and the Holy Spirit's going, "Boy, you're not doing this with very much of a Christ-like attitude. You're better than this, Bruce. Come on, get on." So we go to Walmart out there, and where is that? Osteen. Okay, nice Walmart out there. And I buy her a bicycle, and we get her helmet and a lock and a basket to put on the bicycle and a whole bunch of food and water and take it over there. And this place is not a place that I would like to stay in. Number one, it doesn't have a bathroom. I don't stay anywhere without a bathroom. And I have to have my own bathroom. I don't share bathrooms, okay? Except with her, but nobody else. So we did it, all right? And the Holy Spirit started lifting me up. And I was able to lift up my nephew that's over there. Hasn't worked in 2 years. Has this really long, shaggy hair. He calls it a beard. It looks like Scooby-Doo. I'm like, So, I bought him a whole bunch of razors. I said, when you talk to him, it's like, "How you doing, Brandon?" "I'm doing okay." I said, "Stop." I said, "Look at me. Look at me." And he looked at me, and I said, "Talk to me. Don't mumble. Talk to me." And then I said, "You're a child of God. Do you believe in Jesus?" And he goes, "Yeah." I said, "Have you accepted him as Lord and Savior?" And I go, "Yeah." I said, "Then you're the elect. You're the chosen, and you need to start acting like it." I said, "Go shave that stuff off." So the next time, and then so the next day, all right, the next day, she gets an email from our call from our niece, and she's all crying. Now, to live in this trailer, all they have to do is cut the grass on this 12 acres. Okay, that sounds like a lot, but they got a tractor and one of those things you pull behind it. And she goes, "Brandon's afraid of the tractor, and he won't do anything." So I'm thinking, I'm going to go over there and just beat the holy... No, There comes that humanity again. And I took a deep breath, and I go, and I sent a text, and I can only text our niece, but she can let Brandon read it. You know, so I sent a text and I said, you're a man of God. You can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. The Holy Spirit is dwelling in you. You can do this, Brandon. I know you can. I'm proud of you. Go do it. All right? How long was it before we got that picture? A couple hours? Get a picture of Brandon sitting on the tractor cutting the grass. All right? Now, I could have gone over there and beat the holy, you know, and made him feel really bad, all right? Or I could be an uplifter and an encourager and an edifier and tell him he can be more than what he thinks he can be. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Isn't that the body of Christ? You know, isn't that the kingdom of God? That's the kingdom of God when you walk like that. I don't know about you guys, but I'm getting all goosebumpy. Yeah, I love talking about the kingdom of God. I love talking about Jesus because he is the kingdom of God. Yeah, we got to get excited about this. Amen. Yeah, that's why I wake up with a sense of adventure and a sense of excitement. And even when I don't feel like it, I go right to Psalm 16:8 in the Good News Translation. Yeah. Father, I am aware of your presence. You're always near and with me. I will not be shaken. You know, you have put your Holy Spirit in me, filled me with power, given me joy, you know, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Those are the attributes of the kingdom of God. You know, and they dwell in us. We just got to let them out. We got to keep that humanity down. Yeah, humanity down. Got to keep it down. But it's a battle, isn't it? See, that's what Paul talks about in Romans 7. He's talking about the spiritual battle. See, he's writing to the church people. He's not writing to the people outside. Sometimes we read that, we think he's talking to the unsaved. No, he's talking to us. And sometimes we are saved, but we're the lost because we lose our way. And you lose your way because you don't do the things that keep you in the presence of the Holy Spirit so that you can walk in the kingdom of God environment and in the glory of the restoration gospel of Jesus Christ. This is an exciting relationship. It's even more exciting than my relationship with Gene. I love this relationship more than anything. This relationship is like being on vacation all the time, even when I'm working. This is my busiest time of the year. Yeah. And I'm talking to the Holy Spirit all day long, basically. Yeah, help me with this, help me with that. Yeah. Yeah, this is a powerful relationship that you've got to get a hold of yourself. I can't give it to you. Nobody can give it to you. You have to go take it. Yeah. Jesus said, yeah, you can have it. All you got to do is ask for it. When you ask for something, you want it, don't you? Yeah. Bob, give me $10. I want $10. Yeah. If you got 20, that'd be even better. Right? Yeah. When you seek something, it's because you desire it. Yeah, and when you knock, it's because, you know, you need something. If I go over to my neighbor's house and knock on the door and he opens it and I just stand there, he's going to think I'm nuts. What do you want? I'm knocking on the door. When we knock on the door, it's because we need the Holy Spirit. You cannot be in the kingdom of God. You cannot be in a relationship with Jesus Christ without the Holy Spirit. You can't jump the chain of command, all right? The chain of command is us, Holy Spirit, Father, and Son. But the neat thing is, listen to this. I love Romans 8:11. Yeah, Romans 8:11. This is amplified by the Holy Spirit. Since the Spirit of Abba, Father, who raised Jesus Christ from the dead, dwells in you, then the Holy Spirit, whom he has given you and who raised Christ, will also give life to your mortal body because of the Spirit of Jesus Christ who dwells in you. One verse that the Spirit expanded is the Godhead living in us. And that's backed up by 1 Corinthians 3:16, 1 Corinthians 6:19, and Galatians 4:6. Galatians 4:6 says, since we are the dearly loved children of Abba, Father, he has put the Spirit of his Son in our hearts. Okay? Where is your mind? You know, this is not your mind. This is your brain. And whenever this body goes, this goes. Your mind is in your soul. Your soul is what needs to be transformed and renewed and what you need to work on for your salvation. Because when your spirit was born, it was born perfect in Christ. It's your soul that needs to be renewed. Your thinking and your mind and your will and your emotions. You surrender those to the Holy Spirit and let Him change this, and then He'll drive all the garbage out of here. This is just a storage area. You know, garbage in, garbage out. You know, spiritual stuff in, spiritual stuff out. What does Philippians 4:8 say? Okay? Philippians 4:8 is very important. Everybody knows 4, 6, and 7. Yeah, be anxious for nothing. We all love that one. I don't want to be anxious, so I know that one. But 8 says, tells you what to do, not to be anxious. It's more important than the other two because it tells. Is it up there? Oh my gosh, that's a miracle. But yeah. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is, you know, is commendable, if there's any excellence, okay? This is the word of God He's telling us to think on. This is what we're supposed to meditate on. I don't care about my circumstances and my situations, okay? They're going to happen one way or the other. I cannot let my circumstances, my situations, my feelings, my emotions, my health, my wealth deter me from focusing in on the wonderful, powerful restoration gospel of Jesus Christ that's being revealed to me even now at this moment by the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit spends all His time, you know, testifying and witnessing with my spirit that I am a child of God. So people go, well, how do I overcome the flesh? It's by the Spirit. If by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, the deeds of the flesh, the things of the world, you know, you will have life. And Jesus says in John 10:10, I came so that you might have life and have it more abundantly. It's the enemy who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus comes to give us abundant life. But you got to walk in the kingdom of God environment with the Holy Spirit. Be led by the Spirit, because that's what it says next. For those who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the children of God. All right? And we need to walk like that. You know, we need to walk. You know, somebody said something yesterday. It might have been Gene. You know, I don't want any pride. You know, I know that what pride does to me. All right? What it did to me. Yeah, and what it can do to me if I allow it. Yeah, and it's something I have to keep down. But see, we have the power to do that. All right? But I do have pride. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of the restorative gospel of Jesus Christ. Because it is the power of my Father working in and through me by the Holy Spirit for my salvation and for the salvation of the world through me. I'm a conduit. Bruce doesn't do anything. You know, I am not the greatest person on the face of the planet, but the Holy Spirit in me is. All right? So I walk. I'm not trying to gain victory. No, Jesus already got the victory. When we walk with the Holy Spirit, we come from victory. We've already won. Satan's a loser. I don't even call him Satan anymore. I just call him the loser. That's who he is. He's the loser. And we have let him mess with us for too long. I'm standing with my foot on his neck over him and his minions. They don't have anything on me. I have everything on them. Wherever I go, as soon as they see me, I can hear them now. Uh-oh, Satan, here he comes. Let's get out of here. Good. That's what I want. I'm sitting at Walmart. Over in Sanford, at the Walmart, they have a Burger King. So I was buying a phone for my niece because her phone was dying. And so I was sitting at this table, and I gave her money to go get some food. So I'm just sitting there, and I've got one of these shirts on. I don't remember which one it was. And there's a guy sitting in the table next to us, had a cart full of groceries he'd already bought, and he was waiting for his wife because while we were doing that, Gene was getting our nephew a haircut. He doesn't have that. He doesn't look like Scooby-Doo anymore. Yeah, he's a very good-looking young man. So I'm sitting there, and this guy, about my age, not anywhere as good-looking as me, but he goes, "Excuse me, yeah, excuse me," and I go, "Yes, what?" And he goes, "How old are you?" I said, "I'm 73." He goes, "You look fantastic for 73. Yeah. And I said, "Well, thank you. It's clean living." Yeah. And we both laughed. And later the Holy Spirit said, "Bruce, yeah, you and I both know it's not clean living." Yeah, we've been down that path, Bruce. And you know, it wasn't clean living. What he saw is the same thing that the people of Israel saw in Moses when he was in the presence of God. Now, I'm not saying that pridefully, all right? But we're supposed to walk in the glory of Abba Father. And that's what people are supposed to see. It's not about what we preach. It's not about what we say. It's more about what we do and how we carry ourselves that people see Jesus. All right. Jesus can only be in me when the Holy Spirit is helping me to be like him in my countenance, everything about me in the kingdom of God environment. He said, "No, that's not what he saw. He saw the glory of God in you." And he said, "I did that." And I said, "Thank you." I said, "Do it some more." Yeah. Because the world needs to see the glory of God. Yeah. You know what the glory of God is? I always heard all that time. And somebody taught me the glory of God is his presence, his power, and his goodness magnified in us. All right? That's what I want to walk in. I don't know about you. Yeah. I've walked in my humanity, and it's not pretty. And neither is yours. So I'm just about done. And then we're going to sing Raise a Hallelujah again. But I'll tell you what, I'm gonna ask people, if you want to come, if you have not received the Holy Spirit, come down here and somebody will lay hands on you and pray for you to receive this free gift. It's yours for the taking. Okay? If you haven't felt the Spirit's presence in a while, come down here and ask for it. If you want somebody to lay hands on you, ask somebody to lay hands on you. But you can ask. You don't need somebody to lay hands. And you can just ask. Jesus didn't say, "Go find somebody to lay hands on you and then ask." He just said, "Ask, seek, and knock, and you'll get the Holy Spirit." But it takes, it's by faith, and you have to, I want to read you something. Oh, I forgot. Almost forgot. Woo-hoo. Where's Pastor? Every time I speak, he doesn't come. All right. This is a Smith Wigglesworth-ism. Everybody know who Smith Wigglesworth is? I just love that guy. I always ask for a double portion of his anointing. He goes, "I can't understand Father God by my feelings. I can't understand the Lord Jesus by my feelings. I can only understand God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Son, Jesus Christ, by what the Word says about them. They are everything the Word says they are," Bruce added, "and more. We need to get acquainted with them through the Word." You've got to read your Word. You've got to get your Word in you. The Word tells us to become living epistles. Get the Word in you. When I started this journey, I told the Holy Spirit, "I'm not good at memorizing verses." He goes, "That's all right, I am." And I said, "Oh, thank God." And he said, "You betcha." All right. So he started putting scripture in me. And I have a friend. Boy, he can quote scripture. He's like a walking Bible. And I always said, "Boy, I'd like to be like that." And now I am. Not because I have developed this unique ability to memorize scripture, but this Holy Spirit, he's changed it. He changed it so that when I memorize the scripture, he gives me understanding and knowledge of it so that it can become useful as wisdom to be used for the for the gospel of Jesus Christ. All right? Just like Romans 8:11. If you read Romans 8:11, it doesn't say what I said it said. All right? That was amplified by the Holy Spirit. And I memorized Romans 8:11 15 years ago. 1 through 11 I memorized, and I was real proud of myself. And I used it every time I got scared or anxious, along with Psalm 91 that you encouraged us to memorize years ago, and I still say that every day. It's become a prayer to me now, the Holy Spirit has helped me personalize it. See, this is a personal relationship, and that what you're holding there, Bob, that is Jesus, and he wants to be in you. He said, "If you abide in my word and my word abides in you, then you're with me." All right? Get the word in you. I don't care if you just do one line at a time. You know, the Spirit will expand your capability to memorize, and he will bring it up. He's the one who brings up Scripture. All right? Yeah, the word says, don't worry about what you're going to say when you go before kings and queens, because it won't be you speaking anyway. You know, Bob was, he was real cute last week. I love Bob. He came up behind me before the service, and he goes, you're speaking next week, aren't you? And I said, yeah. And he said, do the exact same thing you did for the men's breakfast. And I said, I can't do that. Yeah. I said, I'll bring my outline. Yeah. But I go, it's going to be the Spirit that fills in, you know, I just got some questions. He does all the rest. I won't even remember when I sit down what I have said. I'll have to listen. Do you record this? Good. Yeah, I can sell those. Now, I'll have to listen to this to see how I did. And that's hard. I don't like listening to myself. You ever listen to yourself? You don't sound like you think you sound. You know, and I probably put a lot of uhs and, you know, and breaks in there that, you know, you're not supposed to. But I want you to know that this was from the Holy Spirit. I was praying all morning that the Spirit would open your hearts, give you ears to hear, you know, what the Spirit wants you to hear, so that you can have this vibrant, exciting, adventurous, passionate relationship that Jesus died that you can have. His whole purpose in coming was to prepare for the Holy Spirit to come after he ascended. Yeah. I want the compassion of Jesus Christ. That's what I want in my life. What is the smallest verse in the Bible? Jesus wept. He was standing there knowing he was going to roll that stone away and call Lazarus out of there. He knew Lazarus wasn't dead. He wasn't crying because of Lazarus. He was crying because of his compassion for the other people. Yeah. That's the compassion of agape love. That's a whole nother talk. Agape love is God's divine love, and it's different than our human love. All right? And I'd love to talk to you about that sometime. But, you know, that's agape love. Agape love has to flow out. You can't keep it in. If you keep it in, it becomes stagnant. And you die spiritually. It's got to flow out. But to flow out, you got to walk with the Holy Spirit. You know, get the Spirit. I don't care what it costs or what you have to do, but get a relationship with the Holy Spirit and watch the Bible come alive. All right? So I thank you. Now, if you know, we're going to sing Raise a Hallelujah again, because I love that song. That's a battle song. You know that, don't you? We're going to raise a hallelujah. Against our enemies, right? Darkness has to flee from me. All right? So we're going to sing that again. All right? And then if you want to come up and receive the Holy Spirit or get a fresh infilling or get, you know, just have somebody lay hands on you, get you excited. And then when we're done with that, Pastor Bob's going to close us in prayer. But thank you very much for this opportunity.